405-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our special guest this morning is Colonel Ron Ray. Colonel, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Colonel Ray is a retired Marine Corps colonel. He fought in Vietnam, and he's retired now and engaged full-time in law, usually on serving patriotic purposes, and he's handled a number of very important legal cases dealing with our matters of freedom and certainly and the ability of the members of the armed forces to practice the religion as they see fit. But, well, I'm going to let Colonel Ray tell you about the things that he is concerned about that are going on today. Christianity is under attack. If we understand that, we can understand why they took God and prayer out of our schools, why, of course, they legalized abortion and why they want to do away with any restrictions on homosexuality in our society. I mean, this is all really powerful spiritual forces that want to certainly flout God's judgment and God's instructions. And certainly Colonel Ray's on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, a battle that's been waged for many centuries, and most people don't even understand the powerful forces that are aligned against freedom here. But you go right ahead, Colonel.
Well, Stan, it's really always good to be with you, and this is kind of an interesting time because it calls for some reflection. They're talking heads now. Governors, Republicans around the country are floundering and trying to talk about where the revival of the Republican Party will start. Haley Barbour, the Mississippi governor, said it's going to start in the States. And, of course, conservatism, evangelical church, and I'm sort of looking all the way back to the end of World War II and trying to look at the where are the roots of modern conservatism and what's happened to the conservative movement under a man that was supposed to be president of the United States, who was supposed to be a conservative and an evangelical, George W. Bush, but he basically, when he left office with 29% or 30% approval rating, basically not only the Republican Party had been crushed, but the notion of conservatism had been entirely discredited, in large part over such things as trying to legitimize torture in violation of the Geneva Conventions, but the failed war in Iraq and all the many reasons that were given for the invasion of Iraq. It calls for something deeper than that, and you made a very interesting point about America being a Christian nation. And I was quite surprised with a former colleague at CNP of ours, Dr. Richard Land, has published articles and involved in a book in which he declared America never was and is not now a Christian nation. He's the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention's action arm in Nashville, Tennessee, that's known as the Religious Liberty and Ethics Commission. It used to be called the Christian Life Commission. They changed the name of that. But he's actually gone public with that declaration. So here are people from the within the so-called pro-family, religious right, conservative movement that are actually taking up the line of those that do not wish America as one nation under God well, and actually denying what's there in our history, where the Supreme Court held four times between 1844 and 1931 that America was in law, fact, and history a Christian nation.
And it's amazing, you know, how they can totally ignore that, how Barack Obama could go to Turkey and make a statement, America is not a Christian nation. He made that statement publicly. Where did certainly Barack Obama go off simply denying America's history and America's tradition?
Worse than that, it's like a self-evident, it's a self-evident truth, but to certify it, the Supreme Court looked historically four times and called us a Christian nation as recently as 1931, when some of your older listeners might even have been alive when the Supreme Court held during the Hoover administration that was the case. But in the most important case, and this is very important, was February 29th, 1892, and the case had been in the court for some time, and they actually wanted to wait to 1892 when the 400th anniversary of the discovery of America in 1492. They wanted to have that 400-year history to go back and look at the what were called in those days organic utterances. That's language we don't really connect to anymore, but it means the official pronouncements of those authorized to speak as elected or appointed officials of government. And they went back and looked at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of official documents from each of the colonies. They went back and looked at the charter to Christopher Columbus from Ferdinand and Isabel, and basically said that it is clear there's not a single official document to the contrary that America, from the discovery of the continent to the present hour, is and has been, as a matter of law, fact, and history, a Christian nation. And they go on to explain that, but I mean they rested on over 60 precedents and said there wasn't a single document to the contrary. When they took prayer out of the schools in 1962, Engle versus Vitale, 6-3 vote, there was not a single precedent cited. It was an edict. It was a declaration, the kind of thing that a dictator or totalitarian society will issue is an edict, and the politically correct will get in line with it. And we're seeing our leaders now openly agree with the politically correct notion, and somebody like Dr. Land. And by the way, I use Matthew 18 principles, and I quickly called him on the phone when I saw the article in print to think he made a mistake, and he didn't respond to my emails, my phone calls, or my letters.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with the American Christian Network.
Good news. The March of Faith Ministries presents Pastor Samuel Santos. Come and hear Pastor Santos, the man who died twice. In a 22-year span, he has been in three airplane accidents. 19 years ago, he fell in the ice and lost his memory totally. Doctors told his wife because of his age, he would never be normal again. This testimony can make a great impact in your life. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. Pastor Santos will be speaking at the Berthoud Community Center, 248 Welch Avenue, at 7:30 p.m. June 5th and 6th. The Johnstown Town Hall at 101 Charlotte Avenue, 7:30 p.m. June 12th and 13th. At the Milliken Town Hall, 1101 Broad Street, 7:30 p.m. June 19th to 20th. And in the Town of Meade, 441 3rd Street, June 26th and 27th. For more information, call 303-883-5674. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. A prom or graduation should never be ruined by a drunk driver. Someone who has overdone it should never attempt to drive after a party. Don't let it be your child. Make this a time that's safe for everyone. That message courtesy of Elizabeth Locker Plant Incorporated at 366 Grant Street in Elizabeth. Specializing in naturalized aged beef and pork and complete custom processing. For the highest quality, call Elizabeth Locker Plant at 688-2240. That's 688-2240. They've been serving our area since 1943 and the Hunsley family are on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and of course, there is a very organized, orchestrated effort within the Protestant and the Catholic Church to indoctrinate the leaders saying America is not a Christian nation. I've read some of these books. They're totally fallacious. They'll have all these documentations, and then you go and you look up the documentation. It has nothing to do with the statements that they made. The important thing to do is to understand that there is a spiritual battle going on between those who would preserve our freedom and those who would establish a dictatorship. Those who would preserve our freedom believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the people on the other side don't want liberty. They want a fascist society, which is what Barack Obama wants. Barack Obama hates America, hates everything we stand for. I mean, his minister, Pastor Wright, listen to what Pastor Wright said. He hated America. It wasn't that much of what he said about the injustice of our society wasn't correct. He hated America. Barack Obama sat for 20 years as this Pastor Wright ranted against America and everything wrong and his hatred of America. And then, of course, when this was pointed out during the campaign, Barack Obama certainly came out and mildly criticized Reverend Wright for what he had said. But understand, the Reverend Wright speaks for Barack Obama. And, of course, Barack Obama hates America and everything we stand for. And there are people within the Christian church who hate America. And then when they say America is not a Christian nation, ask them to define what they mean. What do you mean when you say America is not a Christian nation? And see, nobody ever pins them down and says, what do you mean by a Christian nation? You mean everybody has to be a Christian? No, everybody doesn't have to be a Muslim in a Muslim nation. Or a Hindu in a Hindu nation, but their traditions are based upon the Muslim faith, or in India upon the Hindu faith, or certainly in Malaysia in the Buddhist faith. As our history and our traditions are rooted in the Christian faith, but you see, they never make these distinctions, and they never teach about that Supreme Court decision in 1892. In any of our courses in college. You will find that as one of my newsletters. Go to radioliberty.com and look up Are We a Christian Nation? It's one of the titles of one of our newsletters. And there we quote extensively from that Supreme Court decision that Barack Obama apparently is not even aware of. If he is, it is because of his intense hatred of America and his support for Reverend Wright, of course, that he has made that statement to publicly humiliate America throughout the world. Go right ahead, Colonel.
Well, it's interesting. I came home from Vietnam, and I couldn't understand the movement, which we were told was socialist and leftist. The protesters, that there seemed to be an awful lot of people who graduated from Ivy League colleges and who'd had the very benefits of our society, and they seemed to actually hate America. That's what seemed to be in the streets in the late 60s and early 70s. And I couldn't understand it until, I went through law school and finished first in my class, was not ever shown these four Supreme Court cases. In fact, in law school, you're never really asked to read for yourself at the beginning the state constitution, the U.S. Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence, these founding documents. You're not asked to do that. You're asked to read opinions of judges who construe clauses, phrases from these documents, and you're led to believe no one declares it, but basically the judges declare what the law is, and of course the law is laid down in the founding charters, but it's also then law is made by the lawgivers elected by the people, not by judges who are supposed to interpret the law. But that's the interesting point about all that, Stan, is that the hatred of this country wasn't a hatred of America. It was a hatred of the Christian principles upon which America was based.
Amen.
And you see that that's spread out into the conservative movement. Of course, most of the policies, not all of them, but many of the policies, certainly the security policies of Barack Obama, are consistent with the policies that were begun by George W. Bush, whose popularity, as I said, was around 30% and was perhaps the lowest of any president in history, and it virtually destroyed what I think are the vestiges of the conservative movement. So I was kind of looking back to see what you know, I think the mistake that the religious right and the Christians who were trying to be involved in public affairs is and the pro-family movement, they were drawn to the Republican Party because they appeared to represent our principles. But political parties are about winning elections, and if they're not winning elections, they're not good representatives. So if you go back to 1994, as I look back over the history of conservatism, you know, the first 2 years of Clinton's administration, there was a huge backlash. I wrote a book called Military Necessity and Homosexuality in late 1992, which was to warn the military establishment about the political threat, the homosexual political threat to the armed forces, which they said in their own writings was going to be an attack on the military. Whether George Herbert Walker Bush was elected president in 1992, November, or whether Bill Clinton, whichever one, they were going to get their place at, you know, in the military and overturn the founding principles of our armed forces. Well, it was interesting that 2 years of opposition to very, very un-American policies of the Clinton administration poised us in the spring of 1994 to be ready for an election in 1994 that would repudiate the Clinton administration and give Republicans an opportunity in November of 1994. And you might remember Newt Gingrich and Tom DeLay and these guys. Gingrich came up not with the principles of the Declaration of Independence, not with the principles of the Constitution, but some sort of contract. I call it the Contract on America. And they specifically said in their closed-door meetings, they said that abortion and homosexuality are off the table. And this is when we're working very hard to see that they get elected in 1994. So those who come in the name of conservatism are simply causing change at a slower evolving method. And we're seeing that the right and the left work together, the Republicans and the Democrats work together to move us further and further away from the biblical and Christian foundations of the country.
Well, of course, Newt Gingrich was basically a left-wing liberal New Ager who infiltrated the conservative movement, very articulate. Certainly somebody has to lead the opposition, and he was assigned to lead the opposition and to undermine and destroy it. And this is the problem we face today, is the conservative movement is thoroughly infiltrated by agents of the other side, as is the Christian movement. That is what's so difficult for people to understand, is they planted people like Ted Haggard, a former head of the 30-million-member National Association of Evangelicals. He was planted there to destroy Christianity, and boy, did he do a good job of it.
Well, there's no question about that. In fact, guess who's in mailings and phone calls is now speaking out about America being a Christian nation is Newt Gingrich.
Oh, my goodness, good old Newt. He's a New Ager. I mean, he is an occultist. I mean, if you read his writings in the past, where he was a very, very good friend of the Tofflers and writing chapters for their books, and these are the ultimate of New Agers, and yet, of course, the media sells Newt Gingrich to us as this great Christian leader. I mean, he's, you know, he divorced his wife when she's dying of cancer so he can go off and live with his another girlfriend. I mean, a man without any morality or scruples, and yet he has been appointed by the media to lead the conservative and Christian movement.
This is a piece that I wrote with my wife, Eunice, who is running the RSVP America, Restoring Social Virtue and Purity in America. We wrote in the fall of of 1994, an open letter to leaders of the so-called social conservative movement, and it says this, that the American electorate, like now, is clamoring for representatives of strong moral character, true conservatives. You know, but our conservatives are meeting behind closed doors. According to John Leo, carefully constructed calls in the Washington Times in October for a new ordering of priorities and a values vocabulary overhaul designed to sweep away divisive moral and social issues from the conservative debate, including abortion and homosexuality. In other words, when they were about to take over, they actually preemptively surrendered that, and I actually saw a debate in which William Safire, a supposedly a conservative Republican, and this was on national television, and the fellow that ran the Clinton's campaign for president was supposed to be a conservative, the fellow from Louisiana. His name escapes me here at the moment, but they were debating the future of conservatism in America, and what they both agreed on was that conservatism in America, whether the Republican or the Democratic variety, would steer away from divisive issues like abortion and homosexuality. And lo and behold, when the Christian coalitions, Ralph Reed and Pat Robertson, had the Road to Victory conference in I think it was in September of 1994 in Washington D.C. The William Bennett and Reed and all these guys were saying the same thing and steering us towards Newt Gingrich's contract on America, rather than the principles that had brought people into the public square to stand up for fixed biblical principles which were under attack. And in other words, the same game that we're seeing now with a guy like Newt Gingrich being recycled. And it's sad because people are clamoring for people of strong moral character who are willing to stand up on our biblical principles. But I mean, what do we have with the threat to the country? We have a bipartisan consensus on the open border policy with Mexico. That's Republican and Democrat. That's the Bush administration. That's the Obama administration, and it's the media. They all agree that while there's supposed to be a war on terror out there, that the border doesn't need to be protected.
Right. I mean, you wonder how the American people can be so dense as not to see through the thing that, you know, this is all make-believe. The battle between the Republicans and the Democrats is as phony as the battle between Abbott and Costello or Martin and Lewis. Or, you know, it is just... It's all showbiz. It is designed to keep us from seeing what the real issue is, and that is there is a conspiracy against God.
Well, isn't it interesting that evangelical were when Rick Warren reversed himself, he stunned the conservative leaders when he turned around on gay marriage and. After the, you know, he's a California pastor, has said earlier, and this is back in the spring of this year, April, he told Larry King Live that he never even once gave an endorsement of the opposition.
And that's a lie. I mean, I heard him endorse him.
Of course he did, and that's the point.
And nobody
and
ever called this
that,
man.
Dr. Richard Land and Rick Warren have been invited to become members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a sort of a nonpartisan, bipartisan group that provides assistant secretaries and leaders in foreign policy as well as domestic policy for every administration going all the way back to the early 1920s. And you find that very same thing, and people don't understand what's going on, and they don't know what they're seeing.
And nobody will ever tell the American people that the Council on Foreign Relations, according to Professor Quigley on page 952 of his classic book on tragedy and hope, a history of the world in our time, Professor Quigley pointed out the Council on Foreign Relations was founded as a front for the small round table group, and of course the round table was a front for Cecil Rhodes' secret society. Nobody ever tells the American people that the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society founded in the occult intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation.
Well, if you go back to the, I know you talk about this all the time. If you really want to understand the second half of the 20th century, the movements in the post-World War a two era when America stood at a pinnacle of power. We were America was the leading creditor nation in the world. We're now the leading debtor nation in the world. We had a lot of regard and respect across the world. And if you look at the Reese Committee investigations that took place 1953 and 54, and that report, and one of the findings of the committee was that the huge tax-exempt foundations that have transformed much of American life and supported what Reese found, humanism, socialism, and globalism, was being promoted in every way possible. One of the findings was that the directive that the Ford Foundation was working on was that the directive that included endorsement from the White House that they would spend their money to see America change so it could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union.
We'll be back in just a moment here, the American Dream Temple.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way, the only way they know how.
Barra Survival is your one-stop shop for all your family preparedness needs. Barra Survival carries high-quality, long-term, storable food from Mountain House with a 25-year shelf life. Come by and pick up some high-quality, organic, bulk grains like wheat, quinoa, corn, and barley. Filter your drinking water through the world-famous British Birkfeld water filtration system and reduce or remove bacteria, chlorine, parasites, sediment, and rust for the best-tasting water for pennies a day. Pick up a 3-day kit from Survivor Industries for the car. Barra Survival also carries a huge selection of hard-to-find books from Paladin Press and Desert Publications. Barra Survival is located at 3366 South Broadway, 3 blocks north of Hamden in Inglewood. Call Barra Survival at 1-866-781-0343 or on the web, www.fserve.com. Prepare your family. Visit Barra Survival today.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Got a home project of mine but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland. 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate the support of this station. 970-669-3866.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Colonel Ron Ray, and Colonel Ray was simply talking as we went to the break, certainly about Rowan Gaither's interview with Norman Dodd, where Rowan Gaither had told Norman Dodd that the Ford Foundation, created by Henry Ford, was working under a presidential directive to so change life in America that one day we could be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. That's what it was all about. That's why, of course, our school texts have been changed, and certainly why the media never mentions about the brutality of Russia or the brutality of communist China. Probably there's not one person in 1,000 Americans ever heard of the Great Hunger, where in China between 58 and 62, they starved to death probably close to 40 million people. 40 million people. Oh, we hear about the terrible Germans and Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust, but we never talk about the terrible Chinese, the communist leaders who we brought to power. Colonel, before we go on, would you like to get out your website where people get in touch with your ministry and organization?
Well, it's firstprinciplespress.org. Firstprinciplespress.org. And candidly, there's a lot of the projects we're working on that are not on there. We've been the leading force to preserve the biblical foundations of the American military, many of which are still intact. As I've told you before on some other stations, when you've done it, that I was on the Presidential Commission in 1992 that George Herbert Walker Bush put together to look at the proper role and assignment of American women in the armed forces. And, of course, you see another example of perfect bipartisan harmony. The notion of women in combat came from the Roosevelt administration. And while we were on the commission, we looked at every administration from Roosevelt to George W. Bush move women closer and closer to the battlefield, and there was not an outcry really from a conservative or pro-family or Christian organization when George W. Bush began to put women in harm's way, and well over 100 came home in body bags, including 8 single moms. But that was the example that we saw, that Roosevelt to Reagan, each administration from Roosevelt remove the legal impediments to putting women on the battlefield. And we know that men and women don't compete in sports at the high school, college, professional, or Olympic sports, and that golf and tennis and even football is not as demanding. There are no TV timeouts in a battlefield on combat, but we've seen that happen. So you had the media pushing it, you had the Republican Party pushing it, the Democratic Party pushing it, and every administration pushing it, and you get the same sense of a higher level public policy. In fact, if you want to understand a little bit about the conservative movement, and you know a lot about it, there was all when a man like Joe McCarthy would stand up with a fistful of 212 national security threats within the Truman administration, he was immediately attacked from the left and the right, and he was attacked by the Eisenhower administration eventually. And when the Venona intercepts came out, Joe McCarthy, how would you like to be completely vilified and sent to an early grave for being 100% right? Every person on any list that he ever made public was actually a Soviet agent and working with the Soviet Union. He was 100% right, but that couldn't stand to the media, to the Republicans, to the Democrats, to the conservatives, to the liberals, and to the elite institutions in the United States. There's a new book that I recommend for you, Stan, and for your listeners interested in how conservatism became neoconservatism. And it was published, I think, in 2005. It's called The Neoconservative Revolution, Jewish Intellectuals and the Shaping of Public Policy by Murray Friedman, Jewish scholar. And it's a very powerful book, and get you some background in how William F. Buckley Jr. became the arbiter of what was acceptable public conservatism, and it starts from there and goes down. And people like Joe Sobrin, Pat Buchanan, certainly Joe McCarthy, although Buckley did defend Joe McCarthy's early efforts, but were asked to leave National Review and what was acceptable public discourse, and you saw that happening. The Birch Society, for example, was Buckley made a major public campaign against the Birch Society, which was pointing out problems with the Council on Foreign Relations, the notion that there was, in fact, powers and principalities and evil in high places that were working together out extra in undemocratic changes to public policy and whatnot, and he discredited almost single-handedly, with a lot of support in the media, discredited the John Birch Society, which has done some important work in terms of history and certainly pointed out the history of the Council on Foreign Relations and other things.
Well, Chris, William Buckley was a member of Skull and Bones, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, part of the CIA, and once CIA, always CIA, William Buckley was involved in some very dark things, and yet he was supposed to be the leader of the conservative movement. Simply another example of the controlled opposition.
No question about that. In 1986, friends of ours, Dennis Cuddy, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, was working in the Department of Education under Mr. Conservative, Mr. Values, Bill Bennett, and the lady from Bath, Maine, Elizabeth Isserbitt, Charlotte Isserbitt, were both working for Bennett in the Department of Education when the Soviet-American Educational Exchange Agreement was signed by Ronald Reagan. And they made efforts to warn what this meant, to bring the Soviet curriculum and techniques for managing a public education in America were going to be brought here at the height of the Cold War with what Ronald Reagan had said was the evil empire. And they both got a chance to ask William Bennett, who said, I was out of the loop on that one. The Secretary of Education says out of the loop on that. And that's where you got the massive money that went into these local school boards. You go into, in my county, the largest funded entity, public entity in the county is the school board. And we've had that since 1986, and people don't know what happened over the last number of years, and school construction and the money that goes into that, creating these campuses and all that, and it came right from that 1986 Soviet-American Educational Exchange Agreement, which most Americans are unaware of, and again, the conservatives were in power, and we thought, and Ronald Reagan could do no harm, we thought. If you're interested in how Ronald Reagan was created, there was a documentary on major television. I mean, open on television, called The Last Mogul, and it's about a very powerful man in Hollywood who basically represented and funded and developed the career of Ronald Reagan from the late 1930s all the way up to his presidency and. The Last Mogul, and you could order it online. You can get it from Amazon or something like that, and it may replay on Dish or DirecTV, but it gives you some real insights into his, that this guy was picked out and prepared to be governor and prepared to be president and very funded by some very powerful folks. And I was worked for Ronald Reagan's election against Gerald Ford and worked in his administration, left a very successful law practice to work for him in the early 80s.
Well, I think we were all taken in. After all, he said everything we believed. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2 under the banner 1. That's 970-622-2091.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Colonel Ron Ray, and certainly Colonel Ray has been on the front lines of this battle for freedom and to preserve the moral values of this nation for many years, especially the attack on the American military. Colonel, I just before we go on, one quick thing. You'd know this probably better than most. Don't ask, no tell rule in the military to the Supreme Court, and what happened?
The Supreme Court declined to take the case.
In other words, basically, they're going to uphold the current status of they can have don't ask, don't tell, they can serve, but they can't publicly flaunt their homosexuality. Is that it?
Well, that's been the practical implications. Remember, the first principle of the American military is that those in authority in our armed forces are supposed to show in themselves the highest degree of virtue, honor, patriotism, and subordination. Subordination, most people don't know, means that I'll subordinate my interests and desires for the good of the service. Okay? And it says they're specifically charged to guard against and suppress immoral and dissolute behavior for the welfare they're under their command. In other words, that's the first principle written by John Adams and six other founders in the summer of 1775, and enacted first in law in November 28th of 1775, and it's still on the books. It was expanded for the Navy and Marine Corps in 56, and when we saw the huge sex abuse crisis and the sexual misconduct crisis coming out of the Women in Combat debacle in the 80s and 90s, then one of the first things they did was reenact those very words that I just gave you in 1997 for the Air Force and the Army. But neither Clinton nor Bush nor Obama are going to influence. So if I'm supposed to be vigilant to guard against and express immoral and dissolute behavior, how can I not ask and not tell? In other words, the point is we're supposed to root out any kind of thing that can break down the cohesion of the military, any kind of, we're supposed to eliminate problems before we get to the battlefield. We're supposed to have be a fighting force that's effective and unified and subordinate and virtuous with the highest degree of honor, personal honor, as well as a sense of honor. Anyway, that's so the don't ask, don't tell, I've always, the conservative movement that supported don't ask, don't tell, we've been talking about, I opposed don't ask, don't tell. I mean, I was in favor of the elimination of don't ask, don't tell. I was agreeing with the Homosexual Political Network because I said it was a violation of that first principle, and I wanted to see that was once again taught and enforced. And Admiral Moore told me it hadn't been taught and enforced since the Korean War.
And I think I'm sure he felt very strongly about it. He was a man of integrity and honor.
No, there is no question about it. He's really one of the best that we ever had in that position, and he was always said that the Vietnam War could have been ended in 6 months if we just simply mined Haiphong Harbor, which he was urging on the president in April of 65 when the Marines were landed at Da Nang.
Well, we never went in the war to win any more than we certainly went into Korea to win. They were simply examples of the no-win war where we were financing the enemy just like we're doing in Afghanistan today as we finance the Pakistani government that finances their intelligence, that finances the Taliban and Al-Qaeda that kill our boys. And, of course, when are the military going to wake up and understand this is all really a war on our warriors and to destroy them, to destroy their morality and of course, to undermine the very fabric of our society.
Well, you know, that David Horowitz that gave that famous testimony in August of 1992 when I was on the Presidential Commission, which is when I kind of went through the looking glass. Basically, you know, when I realized that most of what I thought about America was inaccurate or incomplete. And David Horowitz, basically, his testimony, subject to penalties of perjury, to the 15-member commission, where the room was full of major media, television, radio across the country, because there was a lot of attention paid to this in 92, and there were a lot of people hoping that Dick Cheney and Steve Herbert had engineered a lot of pro-women in combat members of the commission, and the White House, Bush's White House, kicked five of the worst off, and I was one of the, we were called the Gang of Five, that we thought men and women were profoundly different and that had military significance. And we eventually carried the day, but David Horowitz testified that he was raised in a Bolshevik home dedicated to the overthrow and destruction of this country and the undermining of all of its institutions. And he said, we determined that by the late 60s, we really had undermined most of Americans' institutions except the military. And the best way to finish the job on the military, they determined, was to promote homosexuality in the military and women in combat.
Right.
And after his testimony, and I realized I was listening to somebody telling the truth, and I realized there was a domestic enemy that I was unaware of, and that he had been one of them. And, he said he had a political conversion and wrote books that seemed to be telling on his former liberal allies, his radical allies. But I asked him after the testimony was over, and this was not part of the record, I said, you said you had all of our institutions but the military. Tell me about the churches and seminaries in America. And he couldn't suppress a satisfied grin. I mean, he kind of went away, but... He said, we got them first. They were the easiest. In other words, they were putting, in the 20s and 30s, they were putting people in the seminaries and the mainstream denominations that were, change agents. They were, communist and Marxist, Leninist, whatever you want to call it, humanist, socialist, whatever you want to call them. But they were change agents put in there to undermine Christianity from within. And they've obviously done a very strong job when you see Rick Warren and Richard Land elevated and making the kinds of statements they're making publicly now. They used to be doing it behind the scenes. And you pointed out Haggard, Haggard who did everything he could to make sure that we couldn't pray in the armed forces in the name of Jesus Christ.
And headed the 30 million member National Association of Evangelical Christians. Well,
for 5 years.
I know.
For 5 years.
And he wouldn't have been there if he didn't have very powerful friends within that same organization pushing him into a position of prominence. And the man who's replaced him seems to be more concerned about, greening and the environmental movement than he does about the dissemination of Christianity. That's what you do. This is why you never join most organizations, because they're going to be taken over at the top. And,
well, that's true. And, I mean, you do have to, I mean, obviously, that it's always been a threat of an enemy within.
Okay, Colonel, do you have a, did we get your telephone number out to tell people exactly
how? Sure, they can get a hold of me by email, colray@aye.net. That's colray@aye.net.
God bless. We're out of time. Thanks very much.
I really appreciate it, Stan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or a backyard get-together to plan. We'll make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and duck tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144. Every year, a prom or graduation is ruined by an intoxicated driver. Parents, talk to your young adults about the dangers and consequences of driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Remember, celebrating safely creates happy memories for everyone. This message from Jambalaya is you'll enjoy excellent food, beverages, plus top service while you're there. Enjoy the specials listed on their complete menu. They're open hours that are convenient for you, so stop by soon for that family treat. That's Jambalaya's at 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. Bring all your friends and family in before graduation or call ahead for larger special orders or parties. Donna and staff are proud of our graduates.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I do hope that you have enjoyed the program with Colonel Ray. It's really like listening to part of history. He's been on the front lines of this battle for a long time. There is a conspiracy against God. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or heard the talk, it's available on DVD. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. This is where you really want to start your study. And if you can't afford it or don't want to put out the money, go to our website at radioliberty.com. Go to the section on videos. And then, of course, scroll down to Brotherhood of Darkness. And you can watch the talk from which the book came there on the screen. I'm not a great speaker, but the information is valid, every bit of it, and it explains exactly what's going on today. You need to hear our talk on the forbidden secret. It comes with the syllabus. You need to hear our talk on the financial Armageddon. It explains how they created this whole financial crisis and why they created it and who Barack Obama really is. What is the invisible force behind Barack Obama and his attack on Christianity? It's all there in the Financial Armageddon DVD, and certainly you need to get the syllabus with it. You need to have this documentation. You need to read the farewell address of Andrew Jackson, the speeches given by Congressman McFadden. They tried to kill Andrew Jackson, the assassin, who was actually employed by the European bankers. He had two pistols. Both of them misfired, and of course Andrew Jackson survived the assassination attempt. Congressman McFadden gave speeches in 1932. They killed him, and they go up on Wikipedia. You can read about it. There were two unsuccessful attempts on McFadden's life in 1934, 1935. He died in 36. Everybody at the time knew he'd been killed, murdered. But then, of course, Wright Patman's speeches in 1964, you need to have the information. Colonel, pardon me, President Roosevelt's letter to Colonel House, you'll read, have a copy of it in your hands, 1933, where he talked about the battle between Jackson and the bank and how that battle would be fought at that time. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, the battle is still being waged today. The final battle in this war that Andrew Jackson was engaged in. The trouble is, of course, most people don't even understand that the Federal Reserve System is not federal. It is a privately owned central bank dedicated to the destruction of our nation and the establishment of a one-world government. When you understand that they're trying to destroy our economy, they're not really trying to stop the Helm foreclosures. They're not really trying to strengthen our currency. They're not really trying to solve the problem, then so much of what they're doing makes sense. I mean, why are more people losing their homes? Why are more people losing their jobs? Why haven't they stopped this whole thing? Why aren't the banks lending money? Because they want to destroy our economy. That's the real reason, but we can't let the people know. The talk on financial Armageddon is the very essence of understanding what's going on today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest our new 4-CD set entitled Deadly Assassins. Goes into the background. You'll actually hear my interviews with several of government assassins. And, of course, you need to understand that this is not imaginary. It does go on today. And those of us on the front lines of this battle are risking our lives. But after all, you know, a coward dies a thousand deaths. A brave man dies but one. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10,